Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, and it's my joy to come to you today by way of this radio broadcast. We're looking forward to you joining in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues. We're going to be talking about today, all lives matter. All lives matter. We say that because you've heard the term Black Lives Matter. You've heard the term Blue Lives Matter. That's speaking of police officers. All lives matter. And especially if it is a life that is indefensible of itself in the womb of the mother. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into our monologue and then our dialogue and discussion today, let me remind you, as we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I believe truth is a unrecognized term, a word in our vocabulary today. I find truth is not sought after in most political circles, and more particularly in Washington with the fiasco that's taking place there. But Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, when we face these issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And Scripture is the not just a place of truth, it is the fountainhead of all truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to study the Word, know the Word, allow the Word of God to direct you as you're faced with life's issues. May I remind you today, ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion by simply dialing 401-1413. 904-401-1413 gets you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can discuss these issues together. Love to have your input. Love to have your questions and comments. It's our delight. This program is designed around you, our listener. It's a Q&A broadcast where you can ask the questions and we'll provide the answers based on the issues that we're dealing with and discussion of. So I pray that you'll tune in today and call others. Tell them to join in this dialogue and discussion. Just a moment after our monologue, we're going to be introducing our special guest today. But ladies and gentlemen, it seems that the insanity is only escalating in the race that seems to be taking place across America to see which state can pass a law that will murder more human beings in the mother's womb. As you know, and you perhaps heard on the news, New York State just passed a bill allowing murder of a baby up and until and right at the place and time of birth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's barbaric. That's the fullest example of infanticide. Where we are murdering our own children. It is sad to say, but we're finding that seemingly it's causing a race across our nation today. I'm thankful that the bill that was introduced in, Virginia, that it was voted down, it was defeated, a 5-3 vote. In fact, the article says, "Virginia Republicans defeat Democratic bill allowing abortions up until birth." Further in the article, it states a House subcommittee voted 5-3 to table the H.R. 2491, called the Repeal Act, with all Republicans voting to table it and all Democrats voting against it. Quote, "The Virginia House of Democrats proposed legislation that would allow abortion up to just seconds before the precious child takes their first breath." The Virginia House of Republicans said on its Facebook, quote, "Watch for yourself. Thankfully, our strong conservative majority was able to defeat this bill." Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wonderful outcome. I don't think that'll stop them. I think that it's just a roadblock for a brief period of time because there seems to be a race to the top. When I say a race to the top, I'm talking about the top of the list of those states that want to murder our children by way of abortion. The ones that are defenseless, helpless in the womb of the mother. There seems to be a mindset that we can kill our babies in the womb, but you can't harm an animal. In fact, in the New York State, it is illegal to use lethal injection for a murderer on death row. It's illegal because they say it is unusual, harmful, and painful way of dying. And yet that same methodology is used for the baby in the womb in states where abortion is legal, and where, especially in New York, where they passed that legislation allowing murder right up until the day and the moment of birth. But ladies and gentlemen, Delaware legalizes abortion. It is seemingly a race to the top, a race to see who can get to the top of the list of murdering by way of abortion. The article simply says Delaware gave pro-life abortion advocates a rare but big win when Governor John Carney signed a bill making it legal to kill unborn babies through all 9 months of pregnancy. And I could read you article after article after article because, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just unique to Delaware and New York. It's not just unique to Virginia, and they're attempting to do so. It seemingly is a massive move across America today to destroy our children in the mother's womb. Ladies and gentlemen, God created us in His image. God created us in His likeness. And life is important. Life is valuable. All life. In fact, you can look in the book of Jeremiah and find that Jeremiah was called and ordained of God to serve Him as the prophet of God, even while he was yet in his mother's womb. Now, how many today, ladies and gentlemen, are being murdered and not allowed to live and come to fruition of what God wants and what God has planned or had planned for their lives? God has a plan for every life. God has a plan for your life and for my life. And that infant in the womb, that defenseless infant in the womb, God has a plan. And so, ladies and gentlemen, God created us to serve Him and to honor Him. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, man has no justification. There's not any justification in the Scripture. There's not any justification in any moral law or any civil law in America today that will allow this to take place. And yet we see it taking place on a very rampant basis. Ladies and gentlemen, my Bible says that God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And ladies and gentlemen, when He created government, He did so that government could punish the wicked and protect the good. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand and realize that we are faced with a major, major dilemma in America today, a dilemma that says we as Christians ought to take a stand. We as Christians ought to recognize the harm and the danger that's looming out there before us, lest we become the salt and light that God has called us to be. We need to take a stand on these issues. We need to be a part. Now, I understand there's some perhaps that are listening today, and you're saying, well, God doesn't want Christians involved in the political arena. That's simply not true. I'm thankful that God has given us men across America in both local, state, and national political realms that love the Lord. They've taken a stand to honor God and to be the instrument and the vessel that God's chosen them to be in serving Him via the political avenue in life. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that this race to the top, as I call it, the top to be the abortion capital of the nation, is a continuum today that's frightening. Here's an article that says, Idaho lawmaker seeks to make abortion murder within the state. I'm thankful for this. Listen to what the article says. Two state legislators have released a draft bill that would make abortion murder in the state of Idaho. According to the draft, the intent of the bill is to protect law enforcement and officials from being directed by federal orders to allow abortion. Further, the article says this. Idaho code defines a fetus as a human and says killing a human is murder. Abortion is in contradiction to the inalienable rights recognized in the Idaho Constitution, and the state of Idaho has the authority to nullify federal laws that allow abortion, the draft of the bill reads. Under Idaho Code 30-102, an unborn child is considered, listen, ladies and gentlemen, is considered a human being It reads, and I quote, "A child conceived but not yet born is to be deemed an existing person so far as many may be necessary for our interest in society in the event of its subsequent birth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's basically saying, without using the biblical term, our philosophy, it's simply saying that we're created beings, we're created in the image of God, we're created for a purpose, and even that baby that is an infant in the womb, there's a purpose. It is a human being. It is, without any question, a live human being. In fact, all of the scientific medical studies in the past several years have identified that child in the womb as having feelings, be able to feel pain, and the heart is beating, and therefore it is a viable, live human being. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, I would like to have a word with you off the air. So would you be able to call me, or you want me to call you?
Well, you could give a call, or you could leave your name there with the one at the station that would be able to take that number and pass it on to me. So that you're not giving it to everybody on the air.
No,
but, he'll take the call, phone number and pass it on to me.
Okay, thank you. Good.
Thank you.
I was listening to your monologue. I was, you know, thinking that one of the strongest points or to look at, I mean, where the abortion is concerned, is God, when he was ready to send the Messiah after years of promising it and working towards sending the Messiah, that's the method he chose, the exact method that all human beings pass through to enter the to be on to the planet, the birth. He selected a couple and allowed a young woman to conceive, and that baby, the Messiah, to grow in her womb, and at the right time to be born and to grow up normal way. So if the people who think that abortion, you know, is okay, what if that young woman had decided she couldn't face the responsibility and decide to abort the baby? And that is the argument for all kids. When you abort, when you destroy a life, we don't know who we are destroying. We don't know what we're doing in God's world. But this is such a strong point, God. If Jesus passed you exactly the same process, the beginning of life, the fetus, and mature inside the womb until the time when he was ready to be delivered, and we treating the fetus this kind of way, it's really terrible. We're really, really in serious trouble that we continue, yes, in this type of blindness and get from want to become, go from bad to worse, protecting animals.
Thankful.
Yes,
I am thankful for your insight, because you're exactly right. Because yes, Mary, according to all historians, say that she was probably 13 to 18 years old, probably right, 15 to 16. Had that been in the 21st century, she'd been given counseling, and she would have been sent to the Planned Parenthood abortuary, the murder centers of the nation, and she would have ended the pregnancy if it had been in the 21st century, and everybody would have put pressure on her to do so, and Jesus would never have been born. So I'm thankful that that was not in vogue in that era. And I am prayerful that somehow, some way, God's going to reverse Roe versus Wade in the future, and it will counter much of what is taking place on the state's levels today. But I'm thankful for your insight. Leave that phone number, though, with Roger, and allow me to get back with you. That will be wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get right through to our microphones. We can have dialogue and discussion together. One of the things that's taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, state after state after state, introducing what they call the Fetal Heartbeat Bill. The Fetal Heartbeat Bill. And that's being introduced on the level across the nation, and I'm thankful for that. In fact, the Fetal Heartbeat Bill has been introduced in Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Dakota, Ohio, Texas, Wyoming. I believe there's 11 or 12 states that's introduced the Fetal Heartbeat Bill. And the bill that is prohibiting abortion as the after the heartbeat can be detected. It was passed in Alabama, for example, with a 73-29 vote in the House, and we have it across the nation. Let me just read you a little brief introduction to the premise behind the fetal heartbeat bill. And one of those bills has been introduced here in the state of Florida. It's introduced, the fetal heartbeat bill is House Bill 235. That's introduced by Representative Mike Hill in District 1 in the state of Florida. And this article says a fetal heartbeat is a form of proposed abortion, legislation in the United States of America, which makes abortion illegal as soon as the fetus heartbeat can be detected, based on the conclusion that a fetus is a person as soon as it has a heartbeat. Fetal heartbeats can be detected at about 6 to 7 weeks into the pregnancy. And there's a whole lot of discussion on it. In fact, I have about 30, 40 pages of the dialogue and the discussion where there's a major, major, major argument and debate taking place state after state after state, where there's a question in relationship to when that takes place. The legal challenges on the basis of what's called informed consent. Laws requiring women seeking abortions to have a physician play a recording of her fetus heartbeat have met with challenges in the court in nearby Texas, for example, in the Texas bill. And they say that it is illegal and should not be, where the doctor is required to get a fetal heartbeat, play it back to allow the mother to hear it, so that the mother will know and realize that that is a human being in her womb. Ladies and gentlemen, I find no problem with that. I find that there are a lot of times, in fact, my wife has said on a number of times, if the mother-to-be could see the sonogram of the baby in her womb, and if the murder mills would allow the mother to see that, most of the time, in most cases, the mother would never allow her child to be destroyed by way of abortion. But ladies and gentlemen, that's happening across the nation today. But the fetal heartbeat bill is one that I think we need to keep an eye on in the state of Florida. Again, it's House Bill 235. It's my prayer that you would call your legislators, call the senators, everyone that's in your representative for your district, and say, vote yes on House Bill 235. I believe it's vitally necessary for that to be done, ladies and gentlemen, for us to have our citizens protected. I find it basically insane when there are more protections for a cat or a dog, more protections for a murderer on death row than the protections for that child in the womb. And by the way, just a little footnote on that. We always, many times, refer to it as the fetus in the womb. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a human being. It's a baby. If you refer to it as a human being or baby rather than just the word fetus, I think we would be further down the road to curing the problem. But it takes the Christians to take a stand, to be salt and light, and to stand up for truth and to recognize that we need to do so in honoring God. Now, in the state of Arkansas, fetal heartbeat bill was introduced saying that it would be murder after the 12th week. It was passed just a few years back, and it was voted on and approved by the House and the Senate, signed into law by the governor. The federal judge issued a temporary injunction against Arkansas as a result of that. But then it was struck down by a federal judge who described the law as unconstitutional. So, ladies and gentlemen, across the nation, when these bills are going into the House and the Senate chambers, they're being discussed, discussion in the committees and the subcommittees, and ultimately passed. But unfortunately, so many of them are stricken down by liberal judges that think they have become the congressional house in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, there's another piece of legislation that's in the state of Florida in particular that I think is vital for us to understand. It is one that is the Monument and Memorial Protection Act. It is House Bill 97. House Bill 97, ladies and gentlemen, is one that you need to keep an eye on, and I believe that it's one that you need to get in. We need to get involved in. Now, what is the Monuments and the Memorials Protection Act? You've heard right here in the city where Anna Brochet had introduced legislation in the city council just last year. I think that it wound up being shelved or tabled because of so much controversy, where there was a desire to remove our national heritage monuments and memorials. And there was an attempt to go ahead and start doing that. There was a lot of hoopla in the city with some that we're totally for, destroying our national heritage and by way of removing our monuments. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. It says, protect Confederate memorials and monuments, according to State Representative Mike Hill. He says, and I quote, it would become illegal to remove any of the memorials, plus the Confederate flag and other symbols, as well as street and school names honoring Confederate soldiers under a bill proposed by Representative Republican lawmaker from Pensacola, Mike Hill. The representative that was elected to the panhandles argues the memorials should be preserved because of their educational value. Quote, it will not change any person's life today by tearing down a Confederate monument or memorial, or tearing down a statue, or tearing down a cross. Hill tells the Times, New Times, that is the newspaper, it will not change any person's life by doing that. What it will do is prevent someone from learning the history of why it was there in the first place. He goes on to say, like many of the defendants of the Confederate movement monuments, and unlike most historians, he minimizes, speaking of Hill, the role of slavery in the history. While acknowledging that the continued enslavement of black Americans was part of what caused the Civil War, Representative Hill argues that the war was fought primarily for money, but also for states' rights and the preservation of a lifestyle. Here's another quote. Representative Hill says, slavery was a part of it and was a nation, and we as a nation overcame that. We fought a terrible war and 600,000 people died so that we could rid this nation of slavery. I think that it is something that we shouldn't erase or try to run away from. That is something that we should understand, know, and be proud of, that we are a nation that did that, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it is House Bill 97, and it's dealing with the protection of our historical documents and background as our historical heritage in the United States of America, and it will preserve the monuments and memorials in the state of Florida. State after state, you're finding their open-handed, open-minded, aggressive attempt to wipe out and to destroy the history of our nation. And I find it egregious when that is done. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a stand and recognize that some things ought to be preserved and protected. The child in the womb ought to be preserved and protected. Our national heritage should be preserved and protected. And I'm praying that God will send us more men that will take leadership roles in that realm and recognize, just as Romans 13 says, in the first verse and following, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there's no power but of God. The power that be ordained are God, of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to the good, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4 in Romans 13, dealing with government. For he that is government is the minister, the servant of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Government is ordained of God. Government should be viewed as an instrument and a servant of God. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we need to continue to pray that God will send us good men, godly men, men that will recognize God and honor God and realize that government is to be a servant to God. We have a number of those running in local, state, and national offices. Our primary election for the city of Jacksonville will be March the 19th. And on March the 19th, we'll have an opportunity to say yes or no to those that are running. And we've got a number of folks, ladies and gentlemen, in the city of Jacksonville and our city council that needs to be replaced. But ladies and gentlemen, let me say one other thing in relationship to what is taking place on the political front and why we as Christians ought to be actively involved. Here's an article that says, breaking news. Stemberger calls for Senator Joe Terrace resignation as chairman of the Republican Party of Florida. Joe Gruter is the president of the Senate. But here's the dateline, Orlando, Florida. It is January the 28th. It says, John Stenberg, a president of the Florida Family Policy Council, called for the resignation of Joe Gruter as chairman of the Republican part of Florida. Because of his role as a state senator, he filed as prime sponsor Senate Bill 438, which seeks to add sexual orientation and gender identity, better known, ladies and gentlemen, as the SOGI, S-O-G-I, SOGI laws, as a new legal protected class to Florida law. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an affront to every moral, ethical Christian in the state of Florida. It was finally forced through an HRO, Human Reprobate Ordinance, here in Duval, Florida County, here in Jacksonville, Florida. And it gives the LGBTQ the privilege of filing suit against any Christian business or any Christian businessman. If they were to be fired in any fashion, they can go back and claim, well, it's because of their being a homosexual or transsexual or bisexual or whatever sexual dysphoria they may have, and will cause major, major harm and damage in the state of Florida. Here's some statements regarding that by John Stenberger, which is the president of the Florida Family Policy Council. And I would recommend you look them up online, Florida Family Policy Council. It's got the links there where you can call your senators, call your legislators in Tallahassee, and ask them to say no, no, no on Senate Bill 438. And John Stenberger, and I believe he is right in doing so, is asking Joe Gruter to resign as the head of the Republican Party for the state of Florida. He says here, today we appeal to conservative leaders across Florida and across the country to call for the resignation of Joe Gruter as chairman of the Republican Party of Florida for his prime sponsorship of the Florida Inclusive Workplace Workforce Act, end quote. John Stenberger says this, if passed, this bill will be used as a weapon to punish Christians for simply acting out their faith as small businessmen or private individuals. It also invades the privacy and dignity of female employees in the workplace who are forced to use showers, changing rooms, locker rooms, bathrooms with men who claim to be women. The bill is also clearly in opposition to the express principles of the Republican Party platform. Further, Gruter is totally out of step with the base of the GOP, state legislative leadership, Governor Ron DeSantis' agenda, the Republican President of the United States, and even the most recent Supreme Court opinion on similar statutes. Ladies and gentlemen, what he's saying there is Jack Phillips, the cake maker in Colorado, was prosecuted and persecuted for about 6 years plus. Case finally went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court threw it out, sent it back to the local appeals courts and said, go back and revisit because you have shown an absolute animus toward Christianity. Further, John Stenberger says in this article, these laws are promoted by the far left as a way of getting the state to regulate free speech and suppress religious liberties and freedom of speech, as the bill creates a new lawsuit against business owners to disgruntled employees who claim that they were fired for being gay or transgender. Gruter is supporting the worst possible type of bill in the Florida legislature, which infringes on core constitutional rights, free speech, religious liberties. John Stenberger further says, no state Republican Party chairman in the history of America has ever supported a bill that is this dangerous and this irresponsible. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time that we as Christians look up, lift up our head, and realize our redemption is drawing nigh. But yet at the same time, we need to be active, involved. We need to be salt and light. We need to stand for truth. We need not go into a closet and hide. We need to stand for truth and recognize that we have dangerous things, enemies in our land today. We need to elect in the city council and in the other governmental offices in Jacksonville, Florida. We need to elect good men, men that will risk political capital to stand for good and stand for God. Thank you for joining in the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.